The battle that was raging in Egypt between Pharaoh and the Lord in order to let the children of Israel go from bondage was just about now to reach its climax. For a period of time, God had smitten the land of Egypt with the various plagues that he had sent. God had promised Moses away back in Exodus chapter 3 in the verse 20 that he would smite Egypt and afterwards he would let them go. And that smiting, of course, was to involve in the various plagues, showing in their design the power of God and to the glory of God in order to release the people from their tyranny and their bondage. Of course, the plagues were not mere historical facts. Yes, they actually literally took place, but they were also pointers to the great deliverance that can be wrought from the bondage and the tyranny of sin. And so God turned the water into blood. He sent the frogs, he sent the lice, he sent the flies, the death of the animals, the boils, the storm, the locusts, the darkness. And now, in one final demonstration of the power of God, the death of the firstborn. Each of the plagues in and of themselves display a most wonderful picture, as I've said, of God's redemption. But it is to this last plague that we want to turn our thoughts upon tonight. The death of the firstborn. This plague was to be the most severe of all. It was the most significant to date. More is written about this plague than any other. It was going to take the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the powerful to the pauper. All were going to be affected. As God exercised judgment, the loss of life would be devastating, the destruction would be real, and the sorrow would be extensive. That plague was to have such an impact that night that's recorded for us there in Exodus chapter 12 would never be forgotten. Its significance and its importance would linger on and remain right throughout history. And of course, central to this whole account of this last plague is the Lamb. For those under the sentence and under the judgment of God, the Lamb was the only means of life. The Lamb that we will consider this evening was the only way that this judgment could be escaped. And in this account, there is a glorious picture of redemption. How this plague, and especially the protection from this plague through the Lamb, illustrates the new beginning, the new life, the new start that the sinner can experience in Christ. In Egypt, this was a night to remember. It was a night of death for some. But for others, it was a night of deliverance. It was a night they would never forget. And it is my solemn, earnest prayer this evening that here, this night, that this would be a night in your experience for those who are out of Christ that you would never forget. That you might this night be delivered from the bondage and the tyranny of sin. That this night you'd look away from yourself and that this night you would experience the life that is to be found alone in Jesus Christ. Oh, God forbid. God forbid that it should be a night of death for you. God forbid that the angel of death should come tonight as it did that night and recorded for us in Exodus chapter 12. And the angel of death tonight come and find you still in your sin and take you out to a lost eternity. Oh, I pray that this night would be not a night of death, but a night of deliverance. That night in Egypt, death came. But God in His mercy provided a way of escape. that judgment that was going to fall could be averted. This great chapter 12 of Exodus has been called many things. I think the most appropriate title is the Picture Book of Redemption, because it portrays for us how this judgment for sin could be turned away, how that the wrath of the Holy God could be appeased all through the Lamb. And tonight, we would, with John of old, direct you to the Lamb and say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Sinner, in this meeting tonight, God's judgment, as we will see, is upon your head. But thank God tonight there is a way of escape. There is a way that that judgment can be turned away, and it's through the Lamb of God, who is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice some things very simply from this passage of Scripture concerning this life-giving Lamb. I want you to see in the first place with me here the provision of the Lamb. In verse number 3 of Exodus chapter 12, we have recorded for us these words: "Speak you unto the congregation of Israel, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." Here is the provision that the people needed. Here is how the judgment, the death that was going to come, could be turned away. It was through the Lamb. Notice some things with me, please, about this provision. Notice that it was a divine provision. How do we find the opening words of verse number 1 of Exodus chapter 12? "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying," the Lord spake. You see, this provision of the Lamb was a divine provision. This wasn't Moses' plan. This wasn't the plan of man or the invention of man. This was a divine provision and plan for God, of God. God had divinely decreed a way that the people could be saved. This was not man's thinking. This was not the way that Moses had planned for the people of Israel. This was not the way that even the people themselves had planned. There was no gathering of themselves together, no gathering of the leaders together to try to work out a great escape plan. No coming together of minds as to how they would escape. No, this was a divinely appointed plan. It was not man's idea, it was God's plan. And this evening in the gospel, salvation is of the Lord. Man today will come up with many different ideas and many different philosophies, many remedies to cure the ills of society, many remedies to bring peace to your troubled soul, many ways that broken lives can be mended again. But thank God tonight that the only way that a sin-sick soul can be saved is through the divinely appointed Lamb of God. The plan of salvation, the work of salvation, originated in the mind of an eternal, triune, merciful God. God who in His mercy and His love planned a way that sinners could escape His judgment. And thank God tonight we present to you a means of escape, not of our own. We do not present to you the teachings or the ideologies of this church. We do not tonight proclaim to you of our own thoughts, of our own intentions. We tonight proclaim to you the way that God has planned that the judgment for your sin might be averted, and it's all through the Lamb of God. You remember that scene, Moriah? Another scene which gloriously depicts Calvary, and Isaac asked the question, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? What did Abraham say? God will provide himself a lamb. Oh, what an answer tonight. What an answer filled with gospel teaching and application. God has provided the way, sinner, that you might be saved, and it's through the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ. And from Genesis through to Revelation, the constant theme and recurring theme is how that you can be reconciled, how you can be redeemed, and it's all through Christ and his finished work at Calvary. This was a divine plan. To the human mind, it didn't seem to make any sense. Maybe tonight you're in this meeting thinking, how can Christ save my soul? My friend, tonight I'm glad tonight Christ can save your soul. It's his way. It was a divine way, but it was also a definite way. You see, there weren't a variety of different ways. The death angel was coming that night, and the firstborn was going to be slain. But God in his mercy provided one way, a definite way. There wasn't a multiplicity of different ways. There wasn't a variety of different ways. No, there was one very specific, very definite plan, very unique way, and it was through the Lamb. God did not appoint a number of ways to escape this judgment. He appointed one way. And sinner, this evening, under the wrath and the condemnation of God, there is only one way of escape. One way that your sin can be dealt with. One way that your soul can be saved. One way that you can be ready for heaven. And it is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Oh, there's no salvation tonight in religion. There's no salvation tonight in rituals. There is no salvation tonight for your sin outside of Christ. God had to send his Son into this world. And Christ had to die on the cross, the Lamb of God, to make atonement for our sins. Christ on the cross of Calvary had to bear the weight and the pain and the suffering and the sorrow for sin in order to put away sin, because there was no other way. Neither, Peter tells us, is there salvation in any other. Listen tonight. In this meeting without Christ, there is no other way that you can be saved but through Christ. There is no other Savior tonight but the Savior. There is no other Redeemer tonight but Christ. There is no other hope this evening but Christ. Unsaved in this meeting, you're under the wrath and the sentence of death. The condemnation of God. By nature, you're doomed. And you're lost. In this meeting tonight, sinner, you're lost. And oh, that God, by his Holy Spirit, would write that truth upon your soul. You're lost. He that believeth not, the Scriptures tell us, is condemned already. Already. Tonight, as you sit in this meeting out of Christ, still in your sin, you're condemned already. The firstborn of Egypt were as good as dead, and the judgment hung over their heads. It's one aspect of gospel preaching that I wish that I could have more ability to preach on, and that is the reality that sinners are already condemned. That you're already lost. This night, sinner, you stand on the very edge of a lost eternity. This night, sinner, in this meeting, you're only a heartbeat. You're only a step away from hell. Because you're condemned already. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you see it tonight? Oh, that God by His Holy Spirit would so awaken you this evening to see that the wrath of God abides in your soul. That you would see how you are tonight before a holy God, lost, condemned. But thank God this evening there is one way that that wrath can be turned away, and it's through the Lamb of God. There is the provision of this Lamb. I want you to see something else as well. The perfection of the Lamb. And yet another wonderful demonstration of this Passover Lamb depicting Christ and depicting Calvary. We see the perfection, the purity of the Lamb that was to be offered. Look at verse 5. Your Lamb shall be without blemish. Without blemish. It was to be perfect. That was to be the character of the Lamb that was going to provide salvation for these people. The Lamb was to be perfect. There could be no physical flaws, inside or outside. Otherwise, it would not be accepted. It points to a purity. It points to a perfection. And thank God tonight, Christ, the Lamb of God, the antitype, the perfect type, the perfect fulfillment of the Lamb spoken of in Exodus chapter 12, is perfect. Christ is the Lamb of God who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Christ on the cross of Calvary attained a full redemption because He was the only one who was perfect without sin. You see, if Christ was going to pay the price for our sin, He had to be without sin. If He was going to pay for the crimes of our sins against God, He could not be guilty of those crimes of that sin. He is sinless. The purity and the perfection of Christ is emphasized again and again within the Scriptures. Peter speaks of Christ as the Lamb without blemish, without spot. Inwardly, outwardly, no trace of sin. Paul says that Christ was made sin, as we saw this morning. Who knew no sin? And I know tonight that the liberals and the modernists, they hate the purity and the perfection of Christ. But thank God tonight, our Bible reveals a perfect Savior, a sinless Savior, a spotless Savior. Yes, as He died on the cross, He stood legally guilty before God for our sin, but not His own sin, because He had none. Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. Because there was no fault to be found in Christ. Even one of the thieves on the cross had to acknowledge the sinlessness of Christ. This man hath done nothing amiss. And you think of that centurion around the cross who said, certainly, certainly this was a righteous man. He is the perfect, pure, sinless Lamb of God. And he is the only one that could provide a covering and a cleansing from sin. He alone is the Passover Lamb. Thank God tonight he alone is your Savior, your only Redeemer. He is the perfect Savior. Many today will point to great men. Many religions today will speak about powerful men. Many cults today will go around our doors and tell us about men of old. But they're all men like you and I, sinners by nature, sinners by practice. But thank God tonight, we preach Christ, who is the sinless Lamb of God. And as such, he is our only Redeemer. There is the provision and the perfection, but let's move on very quickly. There is also the preparation of the Lamb. The Lamb was to be prepared in order for it to provide that covering. As we think of this preparation, notice that the Lamb in verse number 6, it was to be slain. Verse 6, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it. The Lamb had to be slain. It was killed in the evening. The time of the evening sacrifice. It wasn't just the life of the Lamb. It was the death of the Lamb as well. You remember what Paul said, writing to the church at Rome, when he said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The life and the death of Christ, they go together. Christ not only had to live that perfect life, Christ had to die on the cross in order to save us. Christ came into this world, was humbled, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ died, sinner, that you might live. Christ set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, to go outside the walls of that city, to go eventually to a place called Calvary, and there die and give his life. Christ was born to die. He had to die. The Lamb had to be slain. And the perfect, lovely Son of God had to give his life, had to die in order to make atonement for sin. Not only was the Lamb slain, but also the blood was shed. Verse number 7, and they shall take of the blood. They shall take of the blood. Oh, thank God tonight that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there's no forgiveness, there's no cleansing. The blood was essential. And the blood of Jesus Christ is essential in the whole economy and realm of salvation. I know many tonight in evangelical circles will shy away from the preaching of the blood or the singing of the blood. But thank God tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanseth from all sin. Thank God tonight that there's power in that blood. We see the sprinkling of the blood as well in verse number 7. Strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat. Shed blood of the slain Lamb had to be applied. had to be applied. There was no point in the lamb having to die and the blood being shed and the blood just remaining in some basin. The blood had to be applied. And when the blood was applied to the doorposts of the house, what were they saying? They were saying, I believe God. I take God at His word. It was an act of faith. And this evening the blood must be applied to your heart. Well, you know tonight, no doubt, that Christ is your only Savior. You know tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from sin. But has the blood ever been applied to your heart by faith? Have you ever said, I believe? I believe. Have you ever turned away from your sin and turned by saving faith to Jesus Christ? Say, I believe. This was an act of faith. And that night, those households who had the blood on the doorposts of the house, what were they saying? I am depending on the blood. I'm depending on the blood of the slain lamb. I'm depending on the divine provision and plan for God. I'm depending on the blood. Let me ask you this evening, where's your faith? Where's your dependence? What is it tonight that you're depending on for forgiveness of sin? If it's not in the blood of the Lamb, then it's all a sham. Are you under the blood tonight? Are you saved this evening? As we've said, you can know the gospel inside out, outside in, and every other way. But have you ever, by faith, received Christ as your Savior? Have you been awakened in times gone by to the awful state that you're in, lost, but you've never come to Christ? You've never turned to Him? Oh, that this night the blood would be applied to your heart, because there's no salvation or redemption without the blood. There is the provision of this Lamb. There is the perfection and the preparation. But finally, as we close this evening, I want us to see then the protection. The protection. Of course, this is one of the great teachings of this entire chapter. In this account of the death of the firstborn, here was the protection that was provided from the judgment, from death, from destruction, from sorrow, from sadness. And again, notice how that it's all centered, focused on the Lamb. Look at verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That night when the angel of death would pass over, when God saw the blood, judgment would be averted. Judgment would be passed. There would be protection. There would be deliverance. There would be life because of the blood. It didn't matter what else was in the house that night. It didn't matter whatever other provisions there might have been, whatever other preparations there might have been in the house, if there wasn't the blood, judgment, damnation, death would come. Without the blood being applied, there was death. He was looking for the blood, nothing else mattered. Let me ask you, as the Lord looks into your heart tonight and sees what only He can see, does He see a heart that's cleansed and saved, depending on the blood of Christ? Or does He see a heart that's still depending on self-righteousness? Does He see a heart still depending on religion? Does He see a heart full of pride? Does He see a heart full with sin? Oh, may God, by His Holy Spirit this evening, so open your heart to show you you need the blood of Christ applied to your life. Because without the blood, there's no salvation. If death were to come for you tonight and you're still in your sin, then you would die. Lost. Go out into eternity. Lost. Forevermore. What an awful thing it would be to go from a gospel-preaching church such as this, where you have heard week after week your need to be saved, where you've been told from this pulpit week after week that you're a sinner condemned, lost, under the wrath of God, to go out into a lost eternity still in that condition. And lost then forevermore without the protection, without the salvation of the blood of Christ. In verse 12, the Lord says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. This night. Death was coming that night. I'm sure there's not one in this meeting tonight who would deny the reality that we all must needs die. You've attended enough funerals. You've seen it in your own communities, perhaps even in your own home. Death's a reality. But did you think that tonight, this night, death could come to you? That this night you're only but a step, just a step between you and death. Just a step away from a lost eternity in hell for all eternity. Oh, that this night, sinner, this night, you would flee to Christ, the Lamb of God, that you would step out in the promise of God, that you would get under the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, the only protection and the only salvation. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. What does God see as He looks into your heart tonight? Still in sin, still lost, still under the judgment of God. Well, praise God tonight. If in this meeting you are without Christ, if you turn to Him this evening, you run to Him tonight, being awakened to your lost condition before Him, convicted of your sin, that you would get to Him this evening and find the protection, the deliverance, the salvation that He alone can bring. what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sinner tonight, what can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When the blood was applied, judgment was satisfied. But without the blood, judgment fell. Death came. Oh, that tonight you'd run to Christ. This was a night in Exodus chapter 12 of certain death for those who failed to make the preparation. But thank God as well, it was a night of certain deliverance for those who made the preparation. Sinner, tonight, prepare to meet God. Come to Christ. Come to Him now. Let's bow in prayer. And in the final moments of this meeting this evening, we thank you for your attention. But should there be one here tonight without the Savior, God has awakened you to show you your great need. That you're lost. That you're under the condemnation, the wrath of God. And that tonight, Christ is your only hope, the Lamb of God, is the only way that you can be delivered. Well then, come to Him tonight. Don't put this off anymore. Death was coming that night. What would it be if death were to come for you tonight? Are you ready? Are you prepared? If not, then it is our prayer, the burden of the heart of every child of God, that this night you would be prepared and that this night you'd come to Christ. If you have a concern, you want to speak about spiritual matters, you'd like to be saved, and speak to Dr. Douglas, myself, or some other Christian friend you know in this meeting. But whatever you do tonight, don't leave this place still without Christ. Come to Him. Come now.